So, you know, Jesus was fit for us. He came as a humble servant. Last week we looked at the difference between humility and pride. That's the issue that there was, and we looked at that last week and how Jesus, he came humbly. You know, you have to look at Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to summarize basically, you know, you had an old man and an old woman. You had the old man, which was Zacharias, and he was a priest there in the temple. And he had a wife called Elizabeth, and she wanted to have a baby. And you know whose that baby's name was? John the Baptist. John the Baptist. And Zacharias' faith had faltered. And because of that, it had faltered, that he got in trouble and God shut his mouth. Okay? So Gabriel appears there to the lady there, as we know. And she realizes that, you know what, you're going to have a baby. She was going to have that baby. And so Elizabeth got pregnant. It was a miracle. It was like, you know, 6 months later, you had Mary come to the temple. And she had a vision from Gabriel. And she realized that she was going to be, as it were, highly favored. She was not going to be the mother of God. Big difference. That comes from pagan worship. Comes from that Babylonian garbage. This is the real deal, people. This is a miracle. She came to Elizabeth, 6 months pregnant, and it was a miracle. So, make a long story short, Zacharias and both Elizabeth had John. John grew up, you knew. And later on, you had Mary. And this is where the story continues on. So we're not going to forget about cousin Zacharias. We're not going to forget about him, part of the family. So in chapter 2, and as time went on, you know, Mary was pregnant. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone in his own city. Now, there was a tax going on. Rome was big at the time. It was the empire of the world. And Rome had two reasons for taxation. One, they wanted to go ahead and keep their roads built. They had over 50,000 miles worth of roads. Second of all, it was a Jewish thing that the Jews would go back to their lineage from their 12 tribes. And what happened was is that they went back and the Roman political system looked at it and the military, look, this is great. We'll take the best young men and the fighters and the strong men and we will put them, it was like a pre-draft. You know, you didn't have to look through the newspaper, I remember, during the Vietnam War to see if your name was there, right? So, or your number was called, right? They had it already set up where they were going to go ahead and draft these young men. So that's why this was going on. This is serious stuff. They got to keep money flowing. And so you had a... a teenager, and she must have been between 13 and 17. Remember, people, they married young in them days. The medicine wasn't as good as it is today. And we had a couple of people join the 80s club this past week, as my pastor would say, the 80s club. And we're very thankful for modern medicine. Nothing wrong with that. So she was very young. Joseph was very young. And, we'll look at here in a minute. Somebody argued and said, well, there's contradictions in the Bible. No, there isn't. If you read your Bible, you would understand. And Joseph was from, as we see in Matthew's lineage, and Mary was in Luke's lineage. So it was the same way that they both went back to David, King David, through the line of David. So this is all going to happen. And look at Christmas today and think about Christmas. I looked at last week and I used that illustration where you go visit family and friends. And if you have any left or if you have any friends left, whatever the case is, you can look back and lights go off in your head and you think, oh, it was such a bright, wonderful time that I had with so-and-so back at Christmas and so on and so forth. So what I'm trying to encourage you with today, even though they have a problem with suicide as number one during the holidays, think of good things. Remember, you have an enemy behind the lines who would like to destroy you, who would like to ruin your relationship, who would like to take everything that you've worked for so hard and everything that you fight for and just throw you away. But think about Mary. Think about what this woman did. Okay, both Mary and Joseph probably walked 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem for that time for taxation, for the census, like we have today, 80 miles. It had taken 5 days or longer since Mary was 9 months pregnant. Can you imagine ladies doing that? Now we see a picture of Mary on a donkey, right? Okay. And we think, well, maybe she had a ride or something like that. It must have been very awkward and very hard. I couldn't even imagine. Even alone for Joseph, be like, I got to take care of this, her. And there was not only that, but there was the public example set out in Deuteronomy. Hey, it caused shame to the family if they saw a young lady pregnant, if they didn't understand. Unfortunately, people are quick to judge. Quick to look at the book. Yep, I got them all figured out. Okay? No, that's not what happened. And what happened was is that, since she got pregnant, we have some things that we could deal with according to Deuteronomy. We don't have time to get into Deuteronomy 22 through 25, but it says there was a public example made of a couple, shame them and their family, and even put them to death according to Deuteronomy law. Because why? People say, why is God so mean and so angry at people? No, he's not. He's a loving God and he cares, but he dealt with sin seriously. And that's the problem with our public today. We're not dealing with sin seriously. Wondering why there is nothing happening in our society. Yeah, change the politicians. Great. What about the church? And then there was also, if there was a fault pregnancy, the guy, today I'm ashamed to say most guys leave women the way they are after they get them impregnated. Well, there was something to deal with that in the day too, and that was they had to pay silver to the parents. Because back in that day, you were betrothed, and that was like almost like an engagement in a sense. But the guy would go out and make sure he build a home, make sure he provide, and yet then if that wasn't enough, then the person who was supposed to be a virgin would be stoned. Okay. So all these things lined up. You had to take care of your wife-to-be. It was very important for Joseph to do that to Mary. But getting back to Mary, we're going to look at here this morning how she just suffered along with it, but she was so quiet about it. She was so meek. There's nothing more beautiful than seeing a meek woman instead of seeing one yelling and screaming and boasting and wrong on, there's a time and place for everything, folks. Thank God we have a lot of godly women here. We have a lot of godly men. It usually takes the women to keep us men in line, right? Sometimes, not all the time. But so they were registered. And the census first took place in Quirinius, who was governing of Syria. And so all went registered, everyone to his own city. So what they would do is that they had to travel all the way down to Bethlehem. And because of that, they had to find a place to stay. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. So he went to Bethlehem, and he was going to take his wife with him. And, you know, they had to find a place to stay. They had to find a place to stay. And a lot of times you get like caravans of people coming down. And when they couldn't find any room in the inn, as also has the idea of the upper room. Okay? Some expositors, theologians, look at it that way. Like Jesus was sitting with his disciples in the upper room. It was usually a rented out place. So you would go with what you had to travel, and you would go there. And there would be a courtyard, and there's archaeological digs about this. And you would look for a place in to stay. And sometimes they would have rooms set up there. And if that didn't work out, there were caves out along in that peninsula. And they were made out of limestone caves, just like with our Lord, who was buried in a limestone cave. Remember Joseph's cave that he borrowed from? We looked at it last week. Christ borrowed a lot of things because he was made humble, Philippians chapter 2, that God supplied him. So it stayed the same temperature day or night, okay? And you would have animals in there sometimes. You would have people sleeping in there. So you're pretty much on your own. If you weren't doing that, then you'd be sleeping under the stars until you got done with the census. It's just the way life is. I remember my wife and I and our kids were little tiny ones. We went out traveling on the road in Virginia somewhere. And I remember we had to go somewhere. And it was a long drive. We had to spend the night. Well, we couldn't find a place for 20 miles. We were exhausted. You know, after the guy and a woman drives 12 hours at a time or whatever. They had a convention going on. So what did we end up? We went to a trucker stop. And we pulled over there and we slept in our vehicle with our kids. And the next day, you know, we made it to our destination. But we've all been there, done that, right? So we have a little bit of sympathy for Mary and Joseph, what they had to go through. And so Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was the house, the lineage of David. And by the way, Bethlehem was known as the city of bread. And we're going to look at the shepherds here in a minute, because around Bethlehem, you had a lot of wheat fields. You still have them out there today, but it was big business for the temple. The temple, remember, was not destroyed at this time. It wasn't destroyed until 70 AD. And the shepherds were out there, and there were a lot of wheat fields. And they took in a lot of business as far as it goes with food and bread and so on and so forth. Remember, Jesus is the bread of life. He's symbolic. He doesn't turn into, it's not like a wafer that turns into Jesus. And somebody had perverted that translation, but he says, I'm the bread of life, the food of life. So which is called Bethlehem because it was the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife. In other words, that was for a year. Okay? And they had set things up with the parents back in the day. They would usually have a lot of arranged marriages because it was very important for a woman to get married. If not, she was pretty much out in the street. So that's a horrible thing to think. Well, that's the way the mindset is. You go to a foreign country, and I've lived, and we've all lived in foreign countries, or some of us have, and you have to think the way the people think. Think like they do. And maybe we can share Christ as a footnote. So who was with a child, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. So her days were to be delivered. Some people say that was biologically impossible. Well, I believe in miracles. I believe that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she became impregnated. And David did not know her or sleep with her until after this was all done. In fact, Jesus also had brothers and sisters. And so this is a mighty work of creation. Also, there's another argument here that this is mythology. This makes no sense, you know, and you've had some people who blaspheme God and say that, well, maybe Jesus was like a demigod. Well, no, there's no mythology about it. It was a miraculous conception. And so there are other issues people have with this. And so one says, why isn't, you know, John and, let's see, Matthew, Luke, Mark. Why isn't Mark mentioned the birth of Christ? Because their emphasis was on the death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? Because that's why he came. That's why we're celebrating this. I hate to pop anybody's bubble here. Yeah, I love the decorations and all. And I love Christmas time. I love family. I love the singing. I love this and that. But it's like Hope was singing and Karen was playing. It's all about Jesus, the birthday of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Without that, it means nothing. Where would we be without Jesus today? Well, there would be no Christian hospitals. Some of the finest hospitals I've met, and Catholic hospitals, okay? Very good hospitals. There wouldn't be any Salvation Army. No secondhand clothes. That's where I got my tie from, by the way. Went there and I was like, oh yeah, this looks good with this jacket. Okay. Kimberly doesn't have to be there, so I can just do what I want. I was having a great time. she smiled at me. Just wait. I love strong women. Thank God for strong, godly women. I appreciate them. There would be no Christmas carols. How sweet it is. We can go someplace and, you know, go to a nursing home or something and, you know, sing outside to somebody who's a shut-in, somebody who doesn't have anybody. That means so much. And even the giver means a lot to the giver, too, because you're giving, you know. And some of us like to give so much because we enjoy giving. And there wouldn't be any crosses. My goodness, no crosses. No founding of the universities or colleges like Yale, Princeton, Harvard, etc. No golden rule. And by the way, pray for these elites and these universities. We've got some real issues in this country. If we, as the saying goes, one guy gave the illustration, if we split apart or divide it, we fall apart. And a house divided against itself cannot stand, will fall apart. And pray for this great country that we have, because, yeah, we need to pray for our leaders, too. There wouldn't be any golden rule. There would be no calendar of B.C. before Christ or A.D. Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord. No morals or difference between right and wrong. By the way, the problem is with the woke philosophy is today, there are no absolutes. You can't call me a liar. Because how do I know what's wrong is right and right is wrong? You're like, huh? You know, I get away from that confusion because I know where that comes from. It comes from the adversary. But Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins. That's why we have Christmas. It's the beginning of something new. Turn over a new leaf. We're going to look at New Year's next week a little bit. And then, of course, Brian's going to come along. But, you know, we're going to look at turning over a new leaf. Really? Okay. And the days are completed for her to be delivered. And verse 7, she brought forth the firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Do you realize that Jesus Christ was also wrapped in swaddling clothes? I'm talking about straps, the cloth, salted down cloth that would be 18 inches long. They'd wrap that around our Savior's body in the tomb. They did the same thing for baby Jesus because they didn't want the babies back in the day. They didn't want their bones to become out of alignment. For those who are medically inclined, you probably know what I'm talking about. They wrapped them up tight to secure them, to keep them warm. So baby Jesus was wrapped in a manger, and also he was, as a man, he was wrapped in clothes and cloth as our Savior. And he laid them in a manger, and a manger was no more than long about this pulpit, and it was about this wide. So I'm looking up, but there, you know, animals would feed out of it. And I, you know, for a woman to go through all that, you know, I got a lot of respect for that. And also for the man. There was no mention of birthing mother there. Really? Yeah, usually sometimes the guys would just have to say, come on, baby, you can do it. And the wife's like, you know, holding on to this like this and getting all angry. Like, whoa, you know. Never seen my wife. I've seen her turn about 10 shades of color, you know, and just out comes that miracle. It's a miracle. And it was a birthday present. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds were looked down as the lowest of low. Why? Because they never went to the Sabbaths. They were out in the field 24/7. They were working all the time. They couldn't be there. And I get really tired at times. I'm not saying here at this church, but previous churches. People with judgmental attitudes that are like, you know what, you need to be in church all the time. And I'm like, really? This person's got to work. He's got to take care of his wife and his kids. And guess what? I've been there and done that too. I had to go to the seminary, work, and take care of two kids as well. I'm Kimberly homeschooled. And there was a sacrifice for every good man here today who takes care of his family and the women today. They have to work because the inflation's just out the door. Our money's going out the door, you know? So they have to work. So these shepherds were looked down to, especially by the elite. At the time, they had 20,000 priests in the temple area. And you say, how in the world do you get that many people? Well, through the lineage, 42 generations from the time of, I believe it was David, you can correct me when I'm, yeah, from Abraham, I'm sorry. 42 generations. And you can multiply that with the priestly line that came out of that. They were all there. But you had a group of them were the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they took pride and they looked down at people that could not make their offering. They couldn't. Well, if it wasn't for them, they would have no showbread. Why? Because obviously when you went into the temple, you seen the showbread, the 12 different showbreads there for each one of the tribes. So everybody has a part of something in life. And never look down at yourself this holiday, no matter how small or insignificant you are. You stay humble, and God will lift you up. God will use you in a mighty and a powerful way, and God can do it. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking at some people that are living testimonies. Some people just quit and give up. You know what? You had it in your hand and you let it go. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. You know what? Mary and Elizabeth, they were all afraid. You ask yourself, have I ever seen an angel before? I don't think so. I haven't. Maybe you have, you know, and it's great. I love you anyway. But You know, some people say, you're a little crazy. No, you're not. You know, if you think you saw something, I'm not going to call you a liar. I would not do that. You know, I think, you know, angels have ways of getting things done, like with Daniel and so on and so forth. They talk about these drones and all. You know, government says they don't know what they are. I don't know what they are. But some of the lights out there don't make any sense. They don't. Some people say they're angels. They're demons. I don't know. Okay? But I hope I never run into anything like that. Okay? Because the one thing about demonic things, they try to make a spectacle of themselves. No glory to God. They always point to the angels of light, like Satan is an angel of light. So then the angels said to them, do not be afraid. And behold, I will bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. You know, when we look at the word Jesus means God saves. Yeshua, Jehovah is salvation. He is the salvation. Ask yourself, why don't people come to know Jesus? Simply, there's a lot of materialism. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of Santa Claus. I don't have anything against Santa Claus. Like I said, I don't have anything against Christmas trees. But where it says, thou shalt have no other, what, gods before thee, that has the idea there in Exodus chapter 20 of an idol. Anything that you put before God is a no-no. And, you know, I loved Santa Claus growing up. I did. I thought he was a jolly old fellow. And so it says here, for this is born to you this day, the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. And that sign, remember, for the Jews, they're looking for a sign. You know, you hear other comedians said, read my sign. That has the idea, wake up, read my sign. You know, to the Jews, this was a sign. And it says, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there is with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth and peace and goodwill towards men. You know, in the Bible, there's only two other times we'll find that the angels sang. One is found in Job chapter 38. When God created the heavens and earth, and the sons of God shout and praise God. The second time is found in Revelation chapter 6, where Jesus takes the scroll. Remember the seventh scroll? He has made a curse for us. Jesus was the Savior. In Revelation chapter 6, and the angels sang. But you don't find out the angels sing about anything else. And I'm really surprised. I'm very thankful for good musicians that we have here today. And ladies, yes, you are. Okay? And they keep me in line. Okay? And I don't want to get in trouble with them. Because sometimes I get a little ahead of myself. That's my problem. I get a little ahead of myself. You know? And they're there and they say, well, Pastor, let me take care of you. You know? It's sad when you see some people in church that don't even sing. There's no joy. There's no happiness. There's nothing. I remember this young man who was suffering from, I forget the name of the disease, and it was horrible what he had to go through. It affected his whole nervous system. And I remember sitting there back at church, and I remember him just going, ugh. He was trying to sing. He's making a joyful noise unto the Lord. If he was in a public school, they would have just thrashed him, made fun of him and everything else. But you know what? He was trying to sing to the Lord, and he couldn't. Almost tears came to my eyes, and I was thinking, Lord, if this man could only sing, oh, he would probably bring the walls down, break the windows. You know, if he had a chance to sing. And yet, you have some people today that don't even sing. And it took me years before I came here. I will confess, they had ladies here helping me to sing again. because I just shut it off. I would just sing, like, you know, I went to church, I would sing. But they said, you got something there, you can use it. You got something there. Go to somebody for help today. Say, I need help. I need you to help me. Especially if they say to you, you know, you have something here. You know, my pastor said, when you have a gift, like it says in Timothy, you stir the gift, stir it up. And I pray that we're stirred up today for Jesus. Verse 15, so it was when the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And when they came with haste, they found Mary and Joseph with the babe lying in the manger. It's interesting that you have Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth, I believe she was saved. I believe she was saved. Queen Elizabeth II. And pray for Charles, because he believes in many gods. Caught that on the news. No, it was what he was saying. He believes in many gods. So pray for King Charles. Okay? And you never know, in families, you may have somebody living for Christ, and then all of a sudden somebody goes off to the wayside. We all have those wayward sons or daughters in our lives. But Queen Elizabeth visited the United States, and this is a contrast I'm making between Jesus and Queen Elizabeth, not knocking her at all. A reporter's delighted in spelling out the logistics involved. Her 4,000 pounds of luggage included two outfits for every occasion, a mourning outfit, in case somebody died, 40 pounds of plasma, a white kid leather toilet seat cover. She brought along with her a hairdresser, two valets. I think I get tired of all these people right here. I got this. I don't need all these people. And a host of other attendants. A brief visit of the royalty to a foreign country can easily cost $20 million. $20 million just for a visit. And in meek contrast, God's visit to earth took place in an animal shelter. No attendants present, nowhere to lay a newborn king, but in a feed trough. He humbled himself. He could have just, like it says in Hebrews, where, you know, the universe is like a tent. You can just roll it up when God does that. And when he has done with sin, he makes new heavens and new earth. He'll roll it back out again. All things will be new. And guess what? You and I will be there. I hope. And so there was Joseph and Mary with the shepherds. The angels were present. 10,000. By the way, they said 10,000 times 10,000 in some translation. Do you realize in the Greek language, 10,000 is the highest number? Now they're saying, some translations, 10,000 times 10,000. There are innumerable angels. I think I would have had a sleepless night that night. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known for saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those that heard and marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds, they were the evangelists of the time. Some of them could have been Gentiles as well. Guess what we saw? Remember, there was King Herod in the background. He was a sad, pitiful man, dying of syphilis. And here he was, so concerned about his kingdom. And he was Jewish too. But he missed the most important part, was that it wasn't about him being king, but here was the king to come. It was his time to die for his sins, but he missed it. Some people are so caught up in this life. And I hope this year for Christmas, we're not too caught up in all the runaround. And it says, but Mary kept all those things pondered in her heart. There is a song I would love to sing, but I can't do it. It was put out by Mark Lowry in 1985. Buddy Green put words to music in 1991. It's called Mary, Did You Know? And it says, Mary, last stanza, it says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And I like what Mark put in there at last. It says, and this sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. You can't get all excited when you hear that song. It's wonderful. And I would love to have hope sometimes. And I wanted to sing it with her, but I was running late. And I forgot. I had to go through the right channels. And I thought maybe it was that we had sung it here before I came. And it was okay. But, you know, as it was, it wasn't meant to be. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen and was told to them. So the ends mean is to glorify God. I'm going to close with this. It was called 'Twas the Day After Christmas. And this is a warning. Watch yourself. You're going to have a good time, but remember there's that letdown. When things close, things start, you know, coming down and you're getting really tired. 'Twas the day after Christmas when all through the place there were arguments and depression. Even Mom had a long face. The stockings hung empty and the house was a mess. The new clothes didn't fit and Dad was under stress. The family was irritable and the children no one could please because the instructions for the swing set was written in Chinese. The bells no longer jingled and the carolers came around. The sink was stacked with dishes and the tree was turning brown. Sound familiar? The stores were full of people returning the things and fizzled and failed. By the way, wait a couple weeks afterwards. You know, it's not worth it. You know, you're like, oh. And the shoppers were discouraged because everything they bought was now half price sale. Yes. Really? Okay. So it was the day after Christmas, the spirit of joy had disappeared. And this is what can be a killjoy. Don't set yourself up. Be prepared. It's not important. So what if the trees turning brown? Well, not here. And the fire marshal comes knocking at your door. No, I'm not talking about that. But get your priorities in straight. Spend time with your loved ones. You know, have some cuddle time with them. The only hope on the horizon was 12 bowl games the first day of the year. So some people are like, yeah, I got the bowl games, and they're sitting in their living room, and the wife's like, and when the wife does this with her feet, you better listen. That means, honey, you got to get some work done around here. But I'm going to close with the Psalms 51, 7 through 13 for those who do set themselves up, because we do reap what we sow and we do get in trouble. David says this. He says, and I'll close with this. Wash me, in Psalms 51, 7 through 13. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear the joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. It's talking about spiritual brokenness. Hide your face from my sins and block out my iniquities and create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. The Holy Spirit came and went back in that day. It's permanently seated. Either we quench it or, you know, we blot it out of our lives and we need to be filled with the Spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And that should be the joy of this season as we close. And uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. So if God's going to use us, remember, he was the greatest gift that was given to us. And yet, that's okay. You say it. That's okay. You've got something to say about the Lord, you should say it. And, you know, think about his birthday. As we started off that beautiful song with Karen and Hope did, you know, make yourself a little memory, a birthday memory this week. Go out and enjoy yourself, okay? And you know what? I'm here for you. We're all here for one another, okay? And we all have shortcomings, but you know what? Put that all aside and enjoy Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for Mary. Thank you for the wonderful testimony she was in Joseph. In spite of what was going on through all the hardships, they still came through. And even after they had to go down to Egypt because of they were afraid of what Herod did, was going to do. And when he died, they were told by an angel to go back up. And they found out it was one of Herod's relatives that was taking over. They were afraid, and they went back to Nazareth. And that's where why Jesus is called Jesus of Nazareth, because he was born, he was raised in Nazareth. Lord, we thank you for this time. Somebody here online who doesn't know you as Savior, just look at the Christmas story. Look at what you heard here this morning with songs and praises. And it's like the gospel message is in those songs. And it's so powerful and it's so strong. Lord, you can shake people's conscience. You can do things to stir their conscience, Lord, that there is a God in heaven that loves them. And he came into this world, and his name was Jesus, the Savior of our sins, Yeshua. Lord, we just thank you for this day and pray that you be with your people and bring us back safely again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.